Doug McLean, from NHL and Sportsnet Hockey Central, joins us now. How was your Canada Day?
It was brutal.
Brutal?
Oh, no. Canada Day was good.
Yeah.
Canada Day was good because we did our show on Sportsnet. Had a great time with, obviously, Darren Millard hosting and Nick and Elliot and Brian Burke and myself. I thought we had a great time. And then I went to the airport to catch my 10 o'clock flight. And then I got to Fredericton on the plane, which looked like it was about 35 minutes to Charlotte. And the pilot comes on and says, too much fog in Charlotte. We're going back to Toronto. So at 10 to 2 in the morning, I'm at the Air Canada customer service trying to get a flight to go home the next day. So then I got a flight the next morning at 8. So I had the 5:30 wake up after getting to the hotel at 3. Then then my flight's late leaving. So then I had I did an O.J. Simpson through the airport in Halifax, running like a crazed animal trying to get through the airport to catch my connection to Charlottetown because it was the last flight of the day. Anyway, I made it. So a day and a half after I finished the show, I got home. So it was good. Canada Day was great, and the next day was brutal. Anyway, I just finished playing 18 holes, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Not bad. That doesn't sound too bad. Although I don't.
Game was good. Game was good today. You don't feel sorry for me.
Yeah, the game went. What'd you shoot?
I had a 44 in the front.
Okay.
Back wasn't so good. But anyway, I'm okay.
I don't understand why you can't land a plane in fog. Like, I'm not. That actually frightens me that in a plane, they'd be like, oh, there's fog. We're screwed. Like,
You know what bothers me is I'm sitting there thinking, well, can we not land in Moncton or Halifax? Do we have to go back to Toronto? Like, seriously. Anyway,
you probably could have rented a car and done the rest of it.
No, for fun. But anyway, I would have got my wife out of bed. She would have come to Moncton and picked me up. It's only an hour from my cottage. Yeah, anyway, it's okay. It's fun.
Yeah, you're having fun. Yeah, no, Canada was good. And you guys did a great job with the coverage. I ended up watching a lot of the clips online afterwards as I was kind of soaking it all in and getting everyone's takes. So Matt Martin just got dealt as you were coming on the line here. It's really not for anything. It's a goaltender that I've never heard of before. And I guess if you're getting a goaltender for Matt Martin from the Islanders, maybe the most goaltender-hungry team in the NHL, this is just a pure salary dump. So maybe that market was a little... Maybe there was a little bit of an overreaction to the actual market for Matt Martin.
Well, yeah, Somebody sent me a note yesterday, what's Matt Martin? What are they going to get for Matt Martin? Are they going to get a number 5 defenseman? And I sent him back, are you kidding me? Yeah. They're going to get a late pick or depth player. That's what they're going to get because you've got to... Even though the sign-in bonus has been paid, you've got to move... You know, the $1.75 million for next year and whatever it is for this year. So, you know, that it is exactly what you just said it is. It's moving the money off the books and giving him a chance to go back to where he was and had a pretty good career and let him go back and play. And you know what? He'll fit in fine in on the island. So that's a good deal for him and at least move the money. And that's strictly, in my opinion, what it is. I don't even know the goalie's name, but that's fine.
Yeah, Eamon McAdam. I've, again, never heard of him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a fine young guy. You know what is interesting before we get into some of the Carlson and Tavares stuff is that they are acquiring a goaltender that maybe they have to throw to the AHL level, and they've got Sparks, they've got Pickard, and they've got Curtis McElhinney, and only one spot on the NHL roster. And I wonder if you think that any of those goaltenders have any value or how the Leafs end up shaking out that backup goaltender position over the offseason.
To me, they have value. They, you know, they're good young goaltenders. McElhinney is a total team guy and a great NHL backup. So, in my opinion, you can move him. Sparks looks like he's ready to be a player. To be a NHL backup. So, to me, but the return is minimal. Mm-hmm. The return is minimal for backup. So, do you get a number 6-7 defenseman? Do you get an extra winger? That to me is a minimal market, to be quite honest.
No.
So I'm not looking for a huge return on any of those, although they're all good NHL backups.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. But that brings a very minimal price because everybody can get an NHL backup in the summer every year for nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I figured maybe it's even just a pot sweetener and a deal. And yeah, I would actually look at a team like the Islanders and wonder, hey, maybe they'd like to take a flyer on a Pickard, or maybe they'd actually want to have Sparks thrown in a deal. Because I think if you're the Leafs, as much as I do like Sparks and the steps he took forward this season, I think that if somebody wants to acquire him, McElhinney's proven over the last season and a half that, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he doesn't, you're like you said, ultimate team guy, doesn't have a problem with playing very few games every season. And he's being extremely effective in the games that he has come in. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see what the Leafs do there. So,
you know, because the backup role has become unbelievably critical in the NHL because of analytics, where you can't play a guy. So when you've got a guy that wins you games in back-to-back situations, you got to be careful, because that gets teams in and into the playoffs or misses the playoffs in the way it is today. So it's an important position. It really is.
I'm sure you've been asked this already, but I'm curious, as a guy that's been around hockey forever, and that what the captaincy actually means right now, because we get into this every offseason or for the last couple of years. Leafs need a captain, Leafs need a captain. I've always said, who cares? I can't believe that this is ever a debate. If they actually need one, then they'll name one, but they don't seem to be in a rush to do it. But I was thinking about Auston Matthews being a basketball fan and being a bit of a younger ilk, and the fact that, yeah, maybe there was a little bit of, I don't want to say contentiousness, but yeah, that there was maybe a little something between he and Babcock this offseason, and that I think there's a real value to potentially being the first Toronto Maple Leaf to hoist the Stanley Cup since 1967, and whether that actually that label and getting that on your uniform might matter to these guys.
Well, I don't know if it matters, but he's not going to be the guy. I mean, there's not a snowball's chance that he's going to be the captain of the Leafs in the near future, because you're not going to give Tavares $77 million and, you know, bring in a guy that's been a captain in the NHL and an unbelievably well-respected guy and not give him the captaincy. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Marlowe is not a guy that wants to be even a captain. He's just a quality guy, a perfect assistant coach, a perfect leader on the team, but not a guy that wants to be the captain at this stage of his career. So to me, it's a no-brainer. It goes to Tavares, and Matthews as a kid gets his chance down the road to be a captain. But not right now. And I'm sorry if they, you know, I just don't think it's any consideration other than Tavares. And I may be wrong. Maybe they'll go with a bunch of A's, like teams that don't want to make a decision do, or don't have a guy that really fits the bill well. You know, that's fine with me. But to me, this is a no-brainer. It's Tavares. He's got that much respect in the league. He's got that much respect in the dressing room before he's even met the 20 guys. He's got that much respect.
What do you think the biggest benefit of signing Tavares is going to be for Toronto?
Well, I mean, it's what he brings to the table from a top six perspective. I mean, they were a dynamic top six last year. This takes them to a whole nother level. I mean, he plays with, I mean, look, here's the challenge. We all know that the challenge with Babcock and Marner, or I should say with Matthews, is because he wants Marner as his line mate. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't happened in a couple of years. So now it looks like that's going to go to Tavares. We don't know that, because you're going to see how they mesh, how they play. All I know is if you get a chance to play with Marner, you're putting up some big-time points.
Yeah.
And Tavares, the way he loves to dish and the way he can make plays and the way he likes to score, they look like they may be a perfect match. But you never know how it's going to work out. So that's going to be this will be a dynamic top six. The challenge is, can they defend? Can they really defend to be a championship team? And we haven't seen that yet. There's still a lot of questions that way. And I'll tell you what, it's funny, I was saying to the guys here playing golf, this is an unbelievable coup for the Leafs to get Tavares. I love it. I think it's terrific. But they still got to go by Tampa, Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh. Columbus will be a pretty good team. To get out of the first round is still a monumental task in this conference and this division.
Yeah, no.
Even with Tavares, it is a big task to get out of the first round.
I agree with that. I look at all those other teams, even all the ones you mentioned, including Tampa, and I would say that the Leafs are right there now with Tampa Bay as the top nine forwards. I think those are the 1A and 1B now in the NHL. And it doesn't seem like the window is as tight for the Maple Leafs as it once was with Tavares locked up. And it doesn't seem like you have to move one of these forwards. And I don't really think that you should. But the Leafs still have some cap space to work with this year. Even once they get the Nylander deal done, they should still have around $5, $6 million to play with. And I wonder, if you're general manager, what are you trying to do with that?
Well, I desperately would be looking for the right defenseman. Now, is that DeHaan? Is that... Who can you make a deal? I mean, I'll tell you the guy that I think will move on, and he's a heck of a player, and I really like him. I think Brown will be the number one guy that moves and brings in a guy that may be able to help your team defend. And I, as much as I like Brown and as well as he's played, I think he's the first option to make a move. And that would be to bring in somebody that defends, and that's a defenseman. So what does he bring from a defensive perspective? He probably brings a reasonable number five guy. And that's pretty important. That's pretty important, and he's a good player. He's going to go somewhere and be a 20 to 30 goal scorer somewhere in the right situation with the right minutes. So he's a great asset. So to me, he's the number one guy that moves in a positive thing for Brown and a positive thing for the Leafs. I mean, they'd love to keep him, but he can't be a fourth-line guy here.
Yeah.
You know? And they don't, you know, with Tavares, he's the odd man, in my opinion. And maybe I'm wrong. That's just my own opinion. As they say in PEI, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Okay. I agree with you, though. It does feel like they have one too many right-wingers at this point. Like, you have a pretty clear, definitive surplus there. And it feels like, what are you going to play your fourth line now with these three groups? Like, you're looking at, 9-10 minutes a night maybe? Potentially less?
Max.
Like, that's what I mean. So, it's tough to have a guy like Connor Brown and say, all right, you're only going to play that plus special teams.
The biggest challenge for Babcock is going to be, and I'm telling you this, and mark my words, the biggest challenge is, how do I get Kadri minutes? Hmm. And Kadri's a 30-goal scorer and a heck of a player and a guy that every team in the league would love to have. How do you get him minutes, you know, when you've got these two guys that are pushing for 20 minutes each? And then you've got your downtime, your penalty killing tied into that. How do you get Kadri 5-on-5 minutes? That's not going to be easy.
I just say play all three of them 20 minutes each. There you go.
That's it.
You play, give everybody a period, and everybody should.
And they're still not going to be happy.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they'll want more, because they don't want to penalty kill those guys. They want 5-on-5 minutes and power play minutes.
Yeah.
And it's tough to find the minutes. It's tough to find the minutes for three quality centermen. It really is.
Well, especially
because of your power play and PK time.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if Austin Matthews was upset with how many minutes he was getting before. And now you got to find more.
And you know what?
More power play.
Nick wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't wrong.
So
trust me.
What happens in Ottawa now? Because all these other teams are getting to talk potentially about an extension with Carlson. Like, they're talking now. I saw the reported trade offer, 8 years, $10 million per, which doesn't even feel like a real offer considering Doughty just got 8 years at 11, and I can't imagine Carlson is going to accept less than that. Like, that almost feels like a slap in the face.
No, it was like the Detroit offer to Babcock. Just enough so he wouldn't take it and he would leave, and then Toronto or Buffalo would take him. That's what it was, okay? So it's one of those offers where you make knowing they're not going to take it, but you said you were going to make an offer, so that's where it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's heating up a little bit in the last couple of days. You got San Jose in the mix. You got Tampa in the mix. You had Vegas in the mix. You got Columbus in the mix. And I'm hearing that there's a couple teams out of it already. It looks like Vegas may be still in there. Tampa may still be in there. Another Western League conference team could be in there. I don't think Columbus is close, because I got to believe it involves Panarin, and Ottawa aren't going to be able to sign Panarin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where San Jose is right now. So the question is, you know, where do you go with this? You're not going to get a good enough offer unless the team can re-sign him. And if you're trying to include Bobby Ryan in that, then it's not going to be a very good asset acquisition situation for Ottawa. So I don't think it's an easy deal to make, and he's going to get moved. I just don't know where.
If they try to attach Bobby Ryan in that deal, that's a disgrace.
And I've been saying it for a month. I said, like, this is your one opportunity to get some great assets in return. But when you put Bobby Ryan there, So to me, I'm saying, okay, forget about Bobby Ryan. Get the best asset you can get. Live with Bobby till you can get somebody to take him, and then you keep half his salary down the road because you've got good asset return on Carlson. But don't ruin the Carlson deal because of that. But here's the thing. The owner signs a $135 million deal with the banks to get Well, you don't get $135 million unless you make certain... There's certain stipulations tied to that, and that would be moving dollars, hitting bottom line, lots of pressure on ownership management to hit numbers. Banks are not easy to deal with. So this is tied to that situation. And Ottawa, in my opinion, have to move money. So, you know, to make sure they hit their numbers to get this $135 million financing deal. Whether they deny what I'm telling you, that's just the way finances. I mean, I'm not a financier, but I got to have a pretty good feel. I guess it's because I borrowed a lot of money in my day.
I was going to say, anyway, go rich.
No, because I borrow money. But anyway,
you get to borrow money when they're like, you'll pay it back because you're rich. That's how that works.
But anyway, I just think that this is a tough deal if they tie Bobby to it. But there's interest. It's picked up. I think it's going to happen, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be Tampa Bay, if it's going to be Vegas or another Western team, but I think it's getting close, and I think he's going to be moved.
Yeah, so you think it's going to be soon?
I sense the offers aren't good enough at this point, but I think it's going to happen sooner than later, probably. He's not going to be there much longer.
Hey, Mac, thanks for jumping on the show today. Appreciate it. We'll try not to bug you now. Enjoy the vacation. Great work this season.
No, hey, don't worry. Anytime. Take care. Pal.